That, you know, there's lesser people on this side, but they were louder. Let's try that again. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen!
Yeah, see, that's the way heaven's going to be loud. Amen?
Amen!
Yeah, there you go, man. You're practicing, right, Lee? I tell you what, we got little Matthew, Vanessa and Eric's little boy. You know, I said amen up here earlier, and all of a sudden I heard a big amen, and I turned around, it was Matthew, that little guy. He shouted amen. That's the way God wants to see the children raised, amen?
Amen.
And, hallelujah. Glory to God. And Lee, you, man, I'm not going to get scared. Believe me, I just told my niece this morning, she said she's kind of shy and she didn't want to say anything. And I said, well, I am too. I just don't let anybody know it. Right? But hallelujah. I'm really thankful you're here today. Jesus is getting ready to come back to this earth.
Amen.
We can look around the world. We can see the events happening. They're pulling together. Even the nations talked about in Ezekiel and Daniel right now are forming around Israel, making preparation. It's forming and to be unaware, many throughout the world. Don't be unaware. Watch the eastern sky. There's going to be a shout, and it's going to happen when we least expect it. Jesus said, I'm going to come when you least expect it. There's going to be a shout from heaven. Then the dead in Christ shall rise first, the Bible said. Those which remain alive will follow thereof. That's talking to the true church, the born again. Those that accepted his salvation are the ones that are going up. Those who reject it, sad to say, they will go through 7 years of tribulation. Horrific tribulation that has never been in this world. And then the end will come. So just have your hearts ready. And today, my message is the lostness of the lost. The lostness of the lost. Christian, do you have a burden for the lost souls? Today the church seems like it's kind of left that desire. When I got saved during the hippie movement, people are witnessing everywhere. Young people, colleges. I mean, it changed cities. Today, I don't hear a whole lot of that. I mean, God is moving. I'm not discouraged about that one bit. He is moving on the earth. But it seems like there's not a concern for the lost the way there should be from God's people. And see, he wanted me to live in eternity with him, but he also wanted me to go out into the world and share the gospel. That's one reason why I'm here today. Even though I was in sales most all my life, I felt led to do this church so I could keep promoting the gospel. Whether I'm in this here or I'm walking out there in Kmart or not Kmart, Walmart. What's a Kmart? We don't even know that anymore. But Christians have a duty to proclaim the truth of God's word, even when it's uncomfortable. Scripture reminds us that turning a blind eye to sin is not love. You're not loving the lost when you let them continue in their sin without warning them. It teaches that. True love is warning the lost of what's going to happen if they don't get saved. I thank God sent a man to start witnessing to me when I got saved. That's how it all started. And I threatened to beat the guy up. I threatened to really do nasty things because he was telling me about Jesus. I didn't like it. But later on, I just told you my testimony. I got saved. That guy it was bugging me, it really wasn't him, is what he was telling me. But then we became brothers in Christ. So now I understood. But we're to tell the lost. God calls us to be watchmen, to be bold, others from destruction, which is true compassion. That's compassion to do that. And you know, if you're ashamed of Jesus, you're not going to witness. And that's a sad thing. People are afraid to use the name of Jesus in public. It might offend somebody. I never worried about that. Because I love him so much. He died on a cross for me. He saved me from an eternal hell. We are not called to be judgmental of the sinner, by the way. God does not call us to make judgments about lost sinners. were to warn them of their destiny. Proverbs 27:5 says, "Ope love." Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. "Listen, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaks to warn the wicked from their wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." The wicked is the unsaved, the lost, not the unchurched. That's a ridiculous thing that the modern church has come up with, trying to get the unchurched into church. That's so stupid. They're lost. The Bible calls them lost, unsaved, but not unchurched. That's stupid. We need to get back and realize churches are filling up with the unchurched, and that's exactly what's happening. A lot of the big mega churches today, they got so many people in them, and sad to say, they don't even know Christ, most of them, because they're taught about the unchurched. This is how we do things in church. This is how we do it. You wear your suit and your tie. And you say, "Amen, hallelujah, glory to God." And you do all those things, but people don't get saved. And they want to hear a message that makes them feel good. They want something to hear that'll tickle their ears. They don't want to hear what I'm going to preach today, but I don't care. Because I'm standing before a holy God right now that's here, you nor forsake you, and he is here today. And he hears every word I say, and I am accountable to him, and he will judge me accordingly as he will you. Amen? We need to hear this message to hopefully encourage us to become witnesses in this last day. There's many, many people, and I'm sad to say, that are not going to make heaven. I'm not the judge of that. God is. God said, "Broad is the way, and many there go to destruction. Narrow is the way, few be there that find it." That's why there's an urgency. We want to reach the lost people. The responsibility of the prophet and the modern Christian to get the critical message to the lost, because they have hell. None. There's no such thing as a righteous person. I'm a good person. I've never done any harm or wrong, so I get to go to heaven. The Bible says we are all born into sin. My little great nephew here, he's born into sin. He needs salvation. That's why we dedicate him, that one day, should Jesus tarry, he'll come to Christ. Amen. And if I'm around, I'm going to tell him about Jesus too. I don't care who likes it or who doesn't. But he's going to hear about Jesus from me, if nobody else. But I know my family will tell him. Amen. But that's what it's all about. There is no automatic work of grace offering forgiveness without repentance. I said the sinner's prayer. There is no such thing as a sinner's prayer in the Bible.
That's right.
It's not in there. You need to repent. Amen. That's why Jesus came and died on a cross. He made it possible so that the sinner could reconcile. I was once a sinner. I reconciled with Christ. Didn't make me better than anybody else, but he washed my sins away, never to see me as a sinner again. And now if I do sin, I go to him and say, "Lord, forgive me. Wash me in that precious blood." Glory to God. And he said, "I'm just and faithful to forgive you." We will never know the impact on this side of heaven when we witness to a lost soul. We may think it's a dead-end street. We may think it didn't do any good. The Holy Spirit said, "I hit forth to do." We'll let God do the work. I can't save anybody. Only God can. But I can share the gospel. I believe the church has been distracted, as I said earlier, with many things, with life and everything else in their life. And they forget that there's a lost world around them. We act just like the world. We walk around, we do things, we even talk like the world. We get angry, we get offended so easily and everything. We're no different in the world in many respects, and that's what we got away from. We need to get back to being the people of God and be witnesses for Christ and do it in a loving way. God called us to be witnesses. Listen to Luke. I don't have a real long sermon today. It's only 15 pages. No, I'm just kidding. So you're still with me?
Amen.
Put your hand up and wave at me. So I'm waving at you saying, "Thank you. Thank you. Hang with me." I want the Holy Spirit to do a great work here today. Because I'm believing for great things in this church.
Amen.
I believe one day that even with it, I'm preaching here, people will begin to come forward. They'll get saved even while I'm preaching.
Yes.
We're getting so close to the end, the Holy Spirit's going to, there's going to be those last day people are going to get saved just right on the edge. Luke 15:1-7. Then drew near unto him all the publicans. I didn't say Republicans, although, you know, they're tax, in the Bible here, the publicans were the tax collectors. And they were hated by the Jews. They were hated by them. They were betraying people. They were corrupt in many ways, the way politicians are today, on both parties. Another subject. Got distracted on that publican thing. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious people, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 and go into the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing when he finds that lost sheep. And when he cometh home, he calleth together the friends and the neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep, which was unchurched, lost. My joy shall be, and listen to this now. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. When we've led people to Christ, even in this church, they come forward. Heaven begins to rejoice. The angels, literally, Scripture teaches, dances around the throne of God. They're trying to understand, how does this salvation thing work? But they see God moving upon those hearts. And when they get saved and they make that commitment, heaven rejoices and dances, even God himself. God loves sinners. He doesn't love the sin at all because he's holy. He's righteous. The New Testament clearly teaches that God so loved the lost and needy world that he gave his son to die on an old rugged cross. That's why he sent Jesus. People don't understand that. They say, well, I'll be a good person. I've heard people say, well, I'm a good person. God will let me into heaven. I do good things. I do all these wonderful things. Well, if that's how you get to heaven, why did Jesus have to come and die on the cross? Why would God done that, to bring Jesus through all that torture and misery just so that we could talk about him? He did that because Jesus' blood is the only blood that could come before the throne of God that will wash sin away. His blood is the only way it came. And it's a gift. It's a gift. It's like me handing somebody a pen. Come up here, Terry. I'll give Terry. No, I'm going to offer you, but don't take it right away. Just an example. I got this wonderful gift for you. It's a pen. It's got a radar in it, too. You can track yourself and GPS, and it writes ink, and any color you want, it's going to give you that color. And this gift is for you.
Do I take it now?
No. Because, see, if someone take this gift, it's not a gift to her. But if she reaches out and takes it, that's hers. Same with salvation. Thank you, Terry. It was a small one, but it works. But you know, it's the same thing with Jesus. When he died on the cross, he died there. He made it a gift, and he comes to the world, and he said, here it is. Salvation is here for you. You need to come and take it. You need to repent and take what I've given you. And if you don't, it's not yours. And if you reject it, he will not force it on you. Christ never forces himself on anyone. He's a loving God. He wants you to live for him because he loves you, and he wants you to live for him because you love him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God's love is so incredibly. Buddha? Islam dude, or whatever their names are, I can't even think of their names right now, and all the other crazy religions that offer nothing but Christianity is a relationship. It's not a religion. And Jesus is the only one that died for us. No other religion can offer us anything. Nothing. It's foolishness. It's amazing how the world taps into all these false religions. But Christianity, we can eternal life to live with me. And he gives us abundant life even on this world. On every page of the gospel, we see that Jesus Christ was concerned about the lostness of people. He wanted to rescue and restore them to God the Father. Luke 19:10, Jesus himself said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He's looking for the lost. You see, we're lost, not him. People said, "I found God." You didn't find him. He wasn't lost. He was there all the time. We're lost. He's seeking us. And he said, "I choose you. You didn't choose me," because he was seeking us. The day I got saved, God was seeking me, and he chose to save me at that moment.
Amen.
John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." When you get saved, you got to do something with it. You got to witness. You got to live the life and allow the regeneration to begin to work in your life, because that's what happens when you get saved. You become a new person. Only God can do that. It's a miracle. It really is. I've watched the really bad people, really smart people, really good people change in front of my eyes in his life. Again, in Russia, I watched a drunk come up to me in cold weather without a shirt saying, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you." And we kept telling him Jesus Christ loves him. He surrendered his life to Christ, and God sobered him up right in front of us. And he got up in the front in the village I was preaching, and he was telling people, "Come to Jesus," because he said, "God is." He felt the reality of the power of that God. And that man today is an evangelist. I didn't do it. I just shared the one that could. And God changed me, just like he changed me. Nobody's perfect when you get saved. You will be in heaven. But here, God's still working on us, regenerating us. That's why when you share the gospel, don't think you're better than the lost, because you're not. The difference is you're saved and ready to go to heaven. I want the lost sinner to be that same way. How many remember the story of Zacchaeus in the Bible? The tax collector? I like that story because Zacchaeus, he was up in a tree when Jesus found him. Jesus come walking down the path, and there's Zacchaeus up in the tree. They say he was short in stature. He was probably up there so he could see Jesus coming. And I like it. I can just see Jesus walking down the road like this here, and everybody's surrounding him. He's coming up, and there's this big old tree and branches, and he looks up, and there's Zacchaeus. "Come on down. I want to go to your house." Everybody hated Zacchaeus because he was a tax collector. They despised him, but not Jesus. And then the Pharisees and the scribes started tearing him down. Jesus. "Oh, look at, he goes, eats with the sinners." But you know something? Every time Jesus sat with a sinner or mixed with the sinners, he didn't partake of what they were doing or okaying it. He was sharing the gospel with them. Lives were changed. When Jesus sits and comes into your house, you're going to be changed. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Zacchaeus and Luke made haste. See, Zacchaeus knew he had to do something quickly. He said he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He received the Lord joyfully. God was working upon him. Romans 10:1, the Apostle Paul himself wrote, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that he might be saved." And guess what? That's what he ministered all of his life urgently. Paul was witnessing through the being tortured and put in prison and all kinds of things. He killed Christians, Paul did, you know. He was a ruthless killer. But God saved him on the road to Damascus. And now he became to the gospel, and he was abused, persecuted, beaten, shipwrecked, killed twice, raised from the dead. All these things were happening, but he said, "I want to reach the lost. I want to reach Israel, the Jewish people." He traveled. And that's how he spent his life until he died a martyr. The lostness of people was pressing on Paul's heart, a burden that caused him to evangelize wherever and whenever possible. He was thinking about God. That's what I think about when I go into stores, how people talk to me. Whether they're a mouth person or just they don't look the look or whatever, I instantly say, Lord, how can I reach them? How can I show them that I'm different, that God did to me, rather than look at it and say, oh, look at that idiot. That's how even Christians think. Oh, look at that bum. Look at that drunk. We should not ever be doing that. We should be looking for the lost wherever we go, in the restaurants, wherever we're at. How can I reach them? How can my life impact that person, even if it's one time? Sad truth is, that modern-day Christians do not share the same sense of urgency as the Apostle Paul did. And I tell you, if you sit in church and the gospel is affecting you, you got a tug in your heart, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Somewhere over the years, we've lost the sense of urgency to warn the unsaved about the fate that follows a life of no faith in Christ. There's an eternal hell for all eternity. That is the penalty. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us, in whom the God of this world, listen now, wake up! Did a good job, by the way, Marco. He really knows how to sleep in church. In whom the God of this world, Satan is the God of this world. What did he do? He blinded the minds of them which believe not. If you don't believe the gospel today and you're listening to me, watching me there, or you're in here and you don't believe the gospel, your mind is blinded by Satan himself, according to the word of God. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. The world will fight that. 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world. That's why Jesus came. Have we let the devil blind our minds as he's blinded the mind of an unbeliever so that we cannot see the way to become a child of God? We cannot witness. Has he blinded the Christians' minds in a sense that we permitted him to do that by lack of reading the word, lack of praying and fellowshipping? And that's how your mind gets blinded. You lose a sensitivity for lost people around you. Young people in schools, colleges, high schools, even elementary, when they got Jesus in them, they impact their school. Encourage your young people. Keep sharing the gospel, even if they make fun of you. It doesn't hurt to get made fun of. I found that out the older I got. In fact, I kind of enjoy it because now I know it's working. You know, I sat in a coffee break. Everybody's making fun of me. I just got saved. And I was excited talking about Jesus. And everybody started making fun of me. There were about 5-6 guys in there. And I started talking about Jesus. And I said, stop right there. I said, I want to tell you guys something. And I was still kind of really shy. I just got saved. I didn't know a whole lot about the word. But I looked at him and I said, you know something? It doesn't bother me one bit that you're making fun of me right now. Because I know Jesus is real. And he came into my heart. And you can do whatever, say whatever you want. Doesn't bother me a bit. And they all got up and walked out. They never made fun of me after that because they knew that I meant what I meant. And some of them I led to Christ later on. And I don't say that to pat myself on the back. Not at all. Any good thing that comes from my life, it's Christ that's doing it through me. Have we let the devil blind us? Even brilliant intellectuals seem unable to understand and accept the easy to understand. It is so easy to understand. There will be no excuse at the judgment day. There will be multitudes that stand before God and they'll say, I didn't know. There'll be no excuses. We got this. You and I should be walking Bibles. They got radios, they got television, they got internet, they got missionaries, they got preachers. There will be no excuses on judgment day for the wicked. And there's going to be so many there at that great white throne. No excuses, nowhere. We got to warn the wicked people. We got to warn them before it's too late. Today, I want us to consider the lostness of unsaved people and our responsibility to shine Christ's light upon their path so that they may move from living in the darkness of unbelief apart from God into a marvelous gift of eternal life. And I'm not talking about being a religious idiot or fanatic. I'm talking about being a true born-again Christian that you live your life accordingly before all. Acts chapter 26, 18, the Apostle Paul said, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's the purpose of it right there. The unsaved lost are under the power of Satan. They don't know it, but they are. That's why they can't receive this. I was under the power of Satan, why I rebelled against it, until the Holy Spirit just kept at me. I hear it. Somebody else would talk to me. Somebody else, pretty soon. Paul had been sent to open their eyes of truth. You know how he did that? He witnessed to them. He didn't make anybody get saved, but he shared the gospel, and many come to the Lord through his life. A lost person does not have the very life of God in them. This is true. An unsaved person is walking dead spiritually. They're the walking dead. I was the walking dead until I came to Christ. My spirit, my life was dead. People can't understand that, but it's true. That's why Jesus came to life, to give us salvation through the Holy Spirit that comes in and lives within us and gives us eternal life. That's how you get eternal life. We're walking dead people until we come to Christ. And by the way, just so anybody's saying, oh, you're condemning lost. No, I'm not. Jesus said, I did not come into the world to condemn it, to save it. I do not preach to condemn anyone. I preach to warn sinners and even Christians alike that are living in sin. Christians that are living in homosexuality. Homosexuals will not go to heaven. None. Is it because God don't want them? No, it's because they don't want God. God forces no one into heaven. It's unnatural. The world's trying to tell us different. I will not enter heaven. And if Christians are living in that kind of habitual life, you better check out whether you're really a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
I'm giving you the truth, right? When a person becomes a believer in Jesus, they receive the miracle of a new birth. Literally, we become what the Bible says, born again. John 10:28, Jesus said, and I give them unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We can only do that ourselves. I can still turn. I have the will to turn and walk away totally from God if I want. And never go to heaven. But no man can make that happen. But I willfully can if I wanted to. But I love Jesus.
Yes.
I love him a whole lot.
Amen.
I get excited about him. And I watch God do a lot of work in a lot of people's lives and change a lot of hearts. And it's exciting.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen, brother.
Amen.
See, a lost person does not have the nature of God. Listen, a lost person does not have the nature of God. The miracle of the new birth. Do I spit? The miracle of a new birth brings with it very nature and character of God. Through faith, we become partakers of the divine nature of God.
Amen.
Through faith. We have to believe it. That's how we come to the Lord. Not by what we think. Not by knowledge. We come by faith. We say, Lord, your word said that if I repent, that you will save me. If I come to you and ask for forgiveness, I got to believe and know it. And the Bible says we're saved by faith, not by works, but by grace. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's what God saved me from. I no longer have to be bound by the sin in my life or anything else. I have the freedom to walk away from it. When we are born, we become the children of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That's the miracle of regeneration. That's what changes us, is the Holy Spirit within us. It makes us think differently about God and how we live our life. The things I used to do, I don't do anymore. The things I wanted to do, I don't want to do them anymore, that were worldly and things I don't want to do. I want to live for Jesus. 1 John 3:1-2, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. That's why he wants to save us from sin. He cannot permit sin into heaven. He's holy. It won't happen. Even the smallest, minute sin that we may label will not go into heaven, because he's so holy and righteous. That's why he sent Jesus. That precious blood that ran down Calvary's cross is applied to my life. And when I come to him and ask for forgiveness, that blood washes me clean, washes me white as snow. And now when Christ looks at me, he no longer sees a dirty old sinner. He sees his son's righteousness upon heaven's gate. And he offers that to every man and woman in the world. Our choice. Take it or leave it. That's simple. It's so simple, it's unbelievable. I'm rushing through this. I know there's probably some edgy people, but that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. See, the disciples were greatly strengthened and blessed by the presence of Jesus Christ during his ministry. They were impacted. He encouraged them and us with the promise of his abiding presence as they carried out the Great Commission, Matthew 28:20, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Once we have a Lord with us, not only with us, but in us. Yes. And he'll never leave us. Isn't that incredible?
Yes.
This holy God that created the whole universe wants to come and live in my little heart. How can anyone profess Christ while rejecting any of his teachings? We can't pick up and choose, by the way, people. We can't pick. I know people that pick and choose certain things out of this Bible in how they're going to live. But they don't want to get the whole thing. But you can't pick and choose. It's the whole thing. It's all or none. There's no picking and choosing what things you want to live. I had one guy said, "Well, I said the sinner's prayer, so doesn't the Bible..." But they thought they were, and they still think they are. They think they're good, and they think, now I'm secure. I don't have to worry about hell or anything. I can live any way I want now. Uh-uh. Grace does not give us a ticket to sin.
Amen.
And sad to say, some are being taught that in churches, and it's wrong. Lost person does not have the guidance of God. Listen. Isaiah 53:6, "And we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of all." Talking about Jesus. All of our sins from times past to now to future, Christ died for every one of them. He had it upon him. God had to look away from him. Jesus hung on that cross. He cried out, my God, why have thou forsaken me?" He felt the weight of the sins of the world upon him, paying the price. And is all he's asking us to do is just come to him and make him Lord. What a death blow. The prophet Isaiah described unbelievers as sheep who have gone astray and have turned to their own way. Isaiah 55, 6-7, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Now that means not that God's lost. He's right there, but you don't know it. "Call ye upon him while he is near. His way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." He will abundantly pardon.
Amen.
6 times a sinner cannot find God. When they turn their hearts away from him and will not hear him. When they mock God and scorn at his dealing until a calamity. When they become too proud and stubborn to humble themselves before the Lord. When they neglect to settle all matters with him until judgment falls. When they blaspheme the Holy Spirit. We can reject him. A lost person does not have the comfort of God. Sooner or later, we all experience a pain of separation, of death of a loved one, don't we? Only those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior can claim to be comforted when they lose a loved one. The Holy Spirit will give us comfort. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Glory to God. And if you're listening today and you're not a born-again Christian and a loved one dies, you will have grief because you have no certainty of what happens. Christians should not grieve as the world does. The lost soul does not have the privilege of going to heaven. As I get close here, I'm not going to say the word yet, Amy, but close to it. Prepared for those who receive and believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Those who are truly born again. Not Christ followers. You're not a Christ follower unless you're born again. Today, people are taught that if you're a Christ follower, you go to heaven. Uh-uh. There's all kinds of Christ followers in there, but they forsook Jesus. They followed him, and then they forsook him. Jesus said, ye must be born again. When you're born again, then you become a Christ follower. Jesus 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We need to warn the church.
Yes.
We need to warn the sinner. Because we're leaky vessels. Even Christians fade. Prone to wander, the song goes. I like that song, that old song. The hearts are prone to wander. My heart is prone to wander. I got to work staying in the Word of God and doing the things of God in order to keep my heart tender before Him. If I don't, I'm going to start wandering away. I need God. John 14:1-6, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am
the way.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. It's only through Jesus. Only way. Every man and woman can say there's other ways. Like Oprah Winfrey says, there's many ways to heaven. She's a liar. She's being used of the devil to propagate a lie to the world. There's only one way. It's Jesus Christ. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not anybody else. Hare Krishna, none of them. They have nothing. They can't do a thing. They're dead. Jesus is alive. Consider 2 Peter 3:8-9, but believe, be ye not ignorant, is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his coming, as some men count slackness, but longsuffering to us word, not that willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's the lost sinner that's keeping the Lord from coming right now. But there will be a time when God will cut that off. The scoffers charge, saying he's not coming back. I told you before, I had a Baptist preacher tell me, they've been saying that for thousands of years. He told me that, a Baptist pastor, when I told him that Jesus Christ is coming at any moment. I said, they've been saying that for, and I looked at him, I said, really? But God's waiting for the lost sinner. And if you're watching by camera today, or you're in here, maybe you think you're a Christian. I don't care if it's small church or big. I'm going to preach it. Check your heart. Examine your heart. The losses unbelievers experience in this life is too numerous to list. All those who shut out Jesus Christ from their lives rob themselves of eternal life. Jesus Christ loved you so much that he went to the cross. Jesus was so powerful that he conquered death in the grave. He's so gracious that he offers you forgiveness and it's fallen free. Just think, he offers that for every human being. I offer. Just forsake your sin, the things that will destroy you. Repent of them and come to me and I'll wash you clean. And I'll change. I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a heart of flesh. So in conclusion, I'll stop here. Today is the day you should turn from a life without faith and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. If you're watching, that's who I'm preaching to here. if you're sitting there saying, well, man, I'm looking around, I think everybody, you don't know that. But I know there's people watching us that aren't saved. I know that for a fact. Probably lost much. Don't take chances on losing your eternal life. Don't ever take chances with that. Jesus is waiting for you today. Come to him now as Lord and Savior. Let's all stand. Please. Today, the Bible says it's the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not the next moment. He said today is the day. He knows that we could drop dead at any time. I got my young nephew here who's a sheriff that I'm proud of in Glenwood. He sees things he wish he wouldn't have to deal with. Least expected. Young and old, little babies all the way up to grandpas and grandpas, they're dying every single day by either corruption or sin, a disease or whatever it is, but people are dying all around us. That's the ones we want to reach before it happens. I'm going to say this on behalf of my nephew being here. I thank God for police officers. Amen. And sheriff officers that are born again Christians that have that in their heart when they come up on these things, knowing even if they can say a prayer privately, they can do that. But God will give them strength in their servants. Literally, the scriptures teach that we're to obey the law. They're servants of God. And I thank God for everyone that professes Christ. And we're part of a ministry called Protector's Peak that supports ministering to sheriffs and police officers around this whole nation. We're part of that. We minister. Some of them are getting saved. Minneapolis Chief Police, one of them, got saved going to Idaho. Hallelujah. We minister to him because, you know, just like being in ministry, it's a tough, thankless job. You're dealing with people. You're dealing with negative all the time. Pastors need it. Missionaries need it. Evangelists need it. We hear negative all the time. I agree with you. They're offended or whatever. Or you're not saying it right. You said it wrong. Or you're not a very good preacher. You hear all kinds of things. But I learned to look to Jesus. The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. He's the one I care about. And of course, it's nice to have friends. But if it doesn't happen, I thank God for Jesus. Because he will never reject me. He will never leave me. He will be with me. Even in the worst trial of my life, he's there. And I want to ask with every eye closed just to make sure. Is there anybody in this place? I want to make sure my life is right with Jesus. I want you to just start coming forward. We're going to pray a prayer before our Lord because you're telling him I want him as my full Lord and Savior. Is there anybody? Just raise up your hand too if you're in here. Is there anybody that walked in this morning? Is there anybody that wants to give their life to Jesus? God sees that hand. Now this is the part that's the hardest part. If there's anybody else, come on. This is the most important time of your life. The greatest decision in your life. This may be your last opportunity to receive Christ. And if I were you, I'd be running down here. Because I'm going to pray with you. And I'm going to invite you to come. You come down here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's your name? What is it? Matthew? Is there anybody else? I thank God this. Yes. Come on down, anybody. One last chance. Matthew, I'm going to pray with you, man. I'm just asking you to pray a prayer with me. My prayer doesn't save you. But if you believe it in your heart, God's going to save you right here. And I'm going to ask this congregation to pray with me. Holy Spirit that brought Matthew down here. It wasn't me. It's his word. Will you do that with me, Matthew? You pray it out loud with me right now. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, a sinner in need of salvation. And today, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins from the day I was born to where I'm standing before you right now. I surrender my life to you. I ask you, Jesus, let your precious blood wash me, cleanse me. And by faith, Lord, I know that you came to earth, that you died and you rose again. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to be my Lord, my Savior, and to come into my life by your Holy Spirit. And I thank you. I believe right now, Jesus, I did what you asked. And I repent of my sins and I turn from them. And I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew. To my brother in Christ, man. I thank God. You know, I thank God for that. The family guy just grew a little bit. You know, Matthew, I know Matthew, you know, angels are dancing around right now. Because Matthew's name is before the throne of God right now. I'm so thankful. And I want to encourage Matthew and anybody watching, like, you need to get a Bible. You need to continue to pray and read the word daily and get involved in a church, a Bible preaching church. Hallelujah. I want to introduce again Matthew. You got a big family now. Hey, can I give you something real quick here? Do you have a good Bible?
Yeah.
Do you? Okay. Yeah, if you don't mind reading that, that'll help you along. If you ever have any questions, man, okay. Come and see me, will you?
Thanks.
Love you, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you, for you are the one that calls hearts. You chose today this young man, this beautiful young man, to be your son. Lord, we pray, we lift him up as a congregation and ask that the Holy Spirit will give him the power, God, a son of man, to live for you in the days ahead, Father, that he will seek you in all things, Father. We thank you for his life. I thank you for everyone watching on the social media today, Lord. If they prayed that prayer, email us, let us know. We pray for you also, that God will continue to do a work in your heart and life. And thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters here this morning. Lord, touch each home. Let your divine healing power flow through homes of people who need a touch of God in their home right now, because your word said that by Jesus' stripes we are healed. Meet them financially, emotionally, domestically. Do a supernatural work in our lives, Father, until we meet again. Should Jesus tarry, Lord, help us to be witnesses for you in this dark world, to always remember every person we come in contact we can encourage with the things of God, or we can either be like the world and not care, or we can care about a lost soul. So Lord, thank you for your written word. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to earth and dying for us. Thank you for all your disciples and all the people in the past that shared the gospel. Thank you, Lord. Touch every home today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody shouted. Hallelujah. Lord, fellowship, shake anybody's hand if you don't know them.
You were the word at the beginning, one with God.